Well, as you heard from our reading this morning, I'm not going to talk about the Hebrews in the desert, moaning to Moses all the time. Unfortunately, we have Job, who is also doing a lot of moaning. He's in a very dark place. He feels deserted by God. He's trying to find God, seeking him everywhere. And he's working out what he wants to say. He thinks he can come before God and defend himself. He thinks he's an upright man and he's being unjustly treated. Does this sound familiar to anyone? But I won't dwell on it here, because this is not everything that it seems. If we look a little deeper and read the previous chapter, we hear a different story from the upright and righteous man Job thinks he is. Eliphaz tells Job that he has brought these troubles on himself. When he was rich and powerful, he gave no water to the weary. He withheld food from the hungry, and he sent widows away empty-handed. So although Job is feeling deserted by God, is he really looking for God for the right reasons? Would it not be better to come before God looking for grace and mercy and put his trust in God's plans for his life rather than his own? But do we as Christians always put our trust and faith in God? This message is repeated in our New Testament reading. We hear of the rich young man coming before Jesus, asking, "What must I do?" He is thinking in terms of earning righteousness. But Jesus teaches that righteousness is a gift to be received by grace. The man calls Jesus good teacher, which earns him a bit of a rebuke. Not that Jesus was denying his own goodness, but forcing the man to recognize that his only hope was in total reliance on God, who alone can give eternal life. The man had kept the law, which was good, but there was something stopping him following Jesus. His wealth was the problem. He went away sad because he had greater love for his wealth and his possessions than for eternal life. I wasn't going to say anything about the camel and the needle. I haven't written it down, so just for Bob, I'm going off script this morning. And the story of this camel and the eye of a needle, and when I was doing some research, well, first of all, Andrew pointed out before he went away that he went to Jerusalem and there was this image of the city gate, and once the city gate was closed, you had to use the smaller door in the gate to get in, making it cumbersome to enter the city after dark. Is that what Jesus means? And there was another one, I think, in Matthew Henry's commentary, where the camel is referred to as a thread, a three-stranded thread. And the only way to thread it through the eye of the needle is by unravelling it. So we need to unravel our lives to enter eternal life. Does that really fit with what Jesus is saying here? I'm not convinced, because the disciples are astounded by what he said. "Who can be saved?" they said. So they obviously took this very seriously. This is not saying that it was just hard for somebody to do it. They were saying that it's actually impossible. So the third way of looking at this, and this is the way my study Bible gave it to us, is that Jesus wasn't talking figuratively at all. He meant a camel, an eye of a needle, because for humans it is impossible. A camel cannot go through the eye of a needle. But with God, it can, because it's in God's gift. Is eternal life. So it's easy for God to give eternal life, but it's not for us to own it. So I prefer to take that last way, and remembering what the disciples said, who then can be saved? "We've given up everything for you, Lord. We've left our homes, our families and everything." And Jesus supports them and says, "Yes, and you will be rewarded for that," as we read in The last time I was here, there was a piece in the scripture which I didn't preach on. But it did say, if anyone even gives you a glass of water in my name, he will receive his reward in heaven. So he was building up them, but the gift of eternal life is God's alone. Back to my script. It is very much the same for people today. They love their possessions and their wealth more than loving God. People put themselves in their faith and their trust in their own abilities to do the right thing, just like Adam and Eve. And then they try to earn salvation, as the young man was. This is something that we should think about. Is there anything hindering us coming to God? Andrew spoke about this some weeks ago. It does seem that in our modern world, there's a heavy reliance on things that we have. A good bank account, a good bank balance, a bigger house, more possessions. The problem comes when we let these things hinder us and hinder us putting our faith in Jesus and our trust in God. A warning from this narrative is that the more we have, the more we are tempted. Temptation is greater with the more distractions we have. It is important for us to be aware of all the things that keep us from trusting God, and also to take regular stock of our position, especially for us longer standing Christians. We should regularly evaluate the areas of our lives that might be problematical and make sure that we are alert when it comes to anything that stops us loving and trusting God. I know that life is much harder when we don't, as I was reminded earlier this week. I was listening to Thought for the Day on BBC Radio Scotland, and what seemed to be a very ordinary question posed about life in a monastery was along these lines. What's it like living in a monastery, the man said. And the monk said, we get up, we fall down, we get up, we fall down. A simple answer, I thought at first, describing how life can feel at times, a series of problems that just need sorting out. We solve them and we carry on. Just the words from a children's song, which is where that came from. It seems to sum up my own experience recently. I had a problem a few weeks ago, and it was just going round and round in my head. I couldn't break out of it. It was a circle of frustration. And it was only, my wife had been telling me, just trust in God, this will sort itself out. And I couldn't see it. I was really stuck. And it was only when I was out walking in the countryside near Salin, which is where I do most of my thinking, that I realised that this problem was holding me up. And the only way to get rid of it was simply by trusting in God. If God wants me to go down certain paths, he will open the doors. If he doesn't want me to, he will shut those doors. And it was something that, as I say, my wife was telling me, but I couldn't see it. I was so deep in this cycle of frustration. We fall down, we get up. Now, I was hoping to play this tune by Bob Carlyle, and I would urge you to listen to it because the video is very powerful. Unfortunately, we couldn't get access to the internet. But I have got the words of the song here, and I'll read them for you. Cursing every step of the way, he bore a heavy load to the market 10 miles away. The journey took its toll, and every day he passed a monastery's high cathedral walls, and it made his life seem meaningless and small. And he wondered how it would be to live in such a place, to be warm, well fed, and at peace, to shut the world away. So when he saw a priest who walked for once beyond the iron gate, he said, tell me of your life inside that place. And the priest replied, we fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up. And the saints are just the sinners who fall down and get up. Disappointment followed him home. He hoped for so much more, but he saw himself in a light that he had never seen before. Because if the priest who fell could find the grace of God to be enough, then there must be some hope for the rest of us. There must be some hope for the rest of us. And it's a really moving video. If you get a chance to look on it on YouTube, I would. That's by Bob Carlyle, the tune. Also, what I didn't say about my walk in the country, you know, all I have to do is have faith to trust and to follow his plan and not to worry about irritating frustrations. The problems may still be there, but I've moved on, trusting in God. I have realized that the grace of God is enough to get up from wherever I had fallen. I might add that, yeah. So, like Job, eventually learning, and the disciples in our New Testament reading, we should all come before God humbly with the hopes of salvation, which cannot be earned, but is given by grace alone. We have the same message coming out of Hebrews. The word of God here is like a double-edged sword, laying bare all that we are. Nothing can be hidden. Nothing can be hidden from God, not even the thoughts of our hearts. But because we have Jesus, who was tested in every way and yet was found without sin, we have a great high priest in whom we can have faith and approach the throne of God with confidence, where we can find the grace and mercy to help us in our times of need. Amen.